Father, be blessed today, God. Be blessed, Lord God. For the glory of the Lord shines all around. Y'all can be seated when you're ready. Bless the name of the Lord. I was putting this on just so I can come and kiss you. It's my lip barrier. Praise God. Why is that? So, you all could be seated if you want to. Bless the Lord. Amen. Oh my soul, and all that is within me. And around me. glory. Is it okay if I don't have it figured out what God's really doing with us? Is that all right? I'm going to attempt to, I don't know if you guys need to do anything back there, but use the iPad as a PowerPoint thing. Is there anything we need to do special? Should we be ready for that? I did that. Yeah, I did the thing first.
Oh, you did do it?
Yes. Okay. You guys doing all right? You enjoying the weather? You like the weather? Is it good? Weather in here is really nice. I just want to mention, too, our classes Sunday morning. We started last week. Dale's been teaching, and, man, they're just incredible so far. It's been really, really good. And I would highly encourage and even drag you out of bed and bring you here if I could, to really come and just extend your Sunday morning, 45 minutes, that's it, and really sit under that anointed teaching that Dale has a gift to teach and to bring this scripture. I was thinking this morning, Dale, as you're talking, and the word wordsmith came to mind, and just being able to use certain words like that.
God put that label on me 40 years ago.
Seriously. Wow. Praise God. So I would just encourage you to do that. I know some of you have been through that, this particular class, maybe even a couple times, because it's the same class we've had for some time. But Dale's bringing out some stuff that we just need to hear. We need to get and we need to grasp. One of the reasons why I felt like we needed to do this class again is we can never, ever, ever depart from foundations, from the truth, from just fundamentals. And that's kind of how we developed the class, over the fundamentals, like a football field down. You know, the first class was first down and second, third, and so on. And one of the things, like, is anybody watching the Olympics? You guys watching the Olympics? I really, and Renee and I really enjoy watching the Olympics. I really appreciate, and we also watch like American Idol and X Factor and things like that. And the reason why I really, really enjoy that is I love watching gifted people function in their gift. I just love that. It's, when you know, like when you talk about the X Factor or American Idol or something like that, it's nobody knows these people. They come to the center stage, and the gift that God has given them and how they're exercising that gift. When I watch the Olympics, or I like sports, not all sports, but I do like sports. Football's my favorite, and I really like Olympics. Because when I watch, I'm looking at you, we don't see the hours upon hours of discipline, of training, that it is required to perform and function at that high level. And I think of that all of the time. And it's just, it's amazing to me. And, you know, last night we were watching, and there was a, I think it was a 15-year-old Oriental girl skating. And I'm just like, 15 years? I mean, I sneezed and 15 years went by. I mean, 15 years? Oh, 15 years old, and just the talent, the gift. And a lot of it is talent. It's just God's gifted people to do certain things. And then they discipline themselves to function in that gifting, and they become very excellent at it. And I think we as the body of Christ can take some good lessons from that. Because the root word of disciple is discipline. Discipline is not a religious nor legalistic term. I was just waiting for an amen. You can, if you're not really sure if you agree with it, say a woman. I'm just or amen, either one. Hey boy. Attaboy. And we can really take some good lessons from that discipline and putting disciplines in our life. And amen. I want to talk about something today that it's so important. It's very fundamental to our walk, but it's so important. And it's absolutely, please hear this, it is absolutely critical we understand how this particular thing functions if we are going to be an ecclesia. I'm going to share a lot of, in this kingdom, honor and authority. There is a difference between authority in the world's sphere from authority within the kingdom. Worldly authority, and Jesus even made this, we'll look at this a little later, but Jesus even made this statement to his disciples when they were arguing about who was the greatest. And he was talking about just the worldly system that men in authority use, and I'm extremely paraphrasing, use control, manipulation, coercion to get people to do what they want done. And Jesus said that is not the way authority functions in the kingdom, nor leadership. For he who wants to be the greatest must be the servant of all. And humility is not something that's prized in our society, but it is in the kingdom. And when I think of, personally, I think of a defining character trait of Jesus. It's humility. So we're going to talk about kingdom, honor, and authority. And I'm just going to warn you beforehand. This is a disclaimer. I'm probably going to say some things that you may have never really heard before when it comes to honor and authority, specifically authority. If you think about the human nature from Adam, that sin, that nature that had been corrupted by sin, we call it the flesh. And I said a moment ago that a defining character trait of Jesus is humility. And a defining character trait of Satan, which is exemplified in the fallen nature of man, that sin, is pride. Pride is the sin that so easily entangles all of us. What we usually do as men, and when I say men, I'm talking about the human race, we focus on a particular sin. I've got a sin problem, which might be, I'll just say something easy. I have a cussing problem. I cuss too much, and that's sin. Sin is a symptom. It is not the problem. Any sin, it doesn't matter what it is a symptom of a deeper heart issue. Pride is at the core of any symptom that we call sin. Pride is the sin door. Once it's opened, it can manifest. Sin can manifest in a number of different ways. Now, this is common to all men. We have, how should I say? Let me back up just a little bit. Before we're born again, we have this nature that's been corrupted by this curse, and we call it sin. Jesus came and he died and he paid for it. See, sin is not the problem anymore. It's been paid for. It's under the blood. It's done. Most of the time what we do is we battle against the sin problem and we want to stop doing something, when really it's not a fighting against stopping doing something. It's a starting the new life and living a different way, because we're a different person now. See, that's what repentance is. Repentance isn't facing your sin and keep fighting it. It's a repentance means to turn. See, and it's a going in a whole different direction. Now, when we're born again, our spirits become brand new. They're whole, they're complete. The Bible says, it is in 1st or 2nd Peter, says that everything according to life and godliness has already been given to us. Everything's there. It's all of the potential to be like Christ, all of the gift, the call, everything God has designed us and created us to be, to walk in, to have, is already there. It's already done. See, that alone will change the way we pray. Too often we're praying for God to do things he's already done. We just need to receive it and start walking in it. Now, when we get born again, our spirit's brand new, and it affects our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and our thinking. It affects them, but it doesn't change them. We still have corrupt files up here. And it's really the self-life that's pride. Pride is the self-life. That's why Jesus said, you want to follow me? You must deny self. Pick up your what? Cross. And do what? Follow. Now, what's the cross? When the Romans would killed Jesus and crucified him, before they crucified him, when they had him carry his cross, what that was a symbol. It was a sign to the whole society. You agree with the authority that's above you, and you're submitted to it unto death. And that's what Jesus is saying by picking up your cross and following. Put the cross, which means you have died to your own life, to that self-life. You are now submitted to a whole nother authority. You are in complete and total agreement unto death. You have become a witness, a martyr. And much of what we really wrestle against is the self-life. It's that pride. In our society here in America, it's like, I mean, it's like real magnified. Because humanism and all of the isms that have come in is about, it's about me, and it's about what I want, and it's about what I like. And we have divorce rates that are extremely high, but they're extremely high in the body of Christ. They're just the same in the body of Christ. Why? Because it's about me and it's what I want. And if she doesn't do what I want, I'm out of here because I'm going to find somebody else that'll be my slave. We do that with going to church. If they don't sing what I want them to sing, if they don't preach what I want them to preach, if they don't change the color of the chairs in the car, whatever, I'm going somewhere else. They don't have a children's ministry I like or a youth ministry. We are so conditioned, and we even actually think it's righteous to live by our own desires and to live by what we want. So authority confronts the very nature of pride that's in us. Now, when I first got born again, I was born again. I'm 30 years old, by the way. I was born again 30 years ago last month. Amen. And that's the birth date I'm going by. I'm 30 years old in the Lord. I got new life. I'm a 30-year-old. That year was a monumental year for me. Not only did I get born again in January of 1984, but Renee and I were restored in relationship, and I proposed to her in marriage that same year. We were married in June 2nd of that year. This June is going to be our 30th year. That ain't bad for a 30-year-old, huh? Huh? I'm 30 years old and married for 30 years. That's pretty good. June 2nd, we were married. September 26th, I turned 21 years old, and that was my first day of military boot camp. Yeah, I don't recommend that kind of pattern, but that's what happened. Now, I was kicked out of high school. I don't recommend that either. Made a lot of mistakes. In high school, I never saw my senior year. I was kicked out halfway through my junior year. I was smart, but I was very stupid. That probably makes sense. Somehow that makes sense. I made really stupid decisions, and which got me kicked out. And I was very, very rebellious, specifically at that point in my life. I got my ear pierced. The day I was kicked out of high school, I went and got my ear pierced. Matter of fact, me and a friend, we got the 2-for-1 deal, you know, because usually the girls get both ears, and so it was cool, just one then. And so he got one, and I got one. And that was a symbol of a rebellion in my life. And you guys, most of you have heard the story, how God dealt with that and told me to put my earring in sometime, some couple years later or whenever, and how he led me to that scripture that, when the Israelites had a slave that was also an Israelite, and it came time for that to be released from their slavery, and they said, "I don't want to go. I want to stay. I choose." This is what a bond slave is, by the way. A bond slave and a slave are vastly different. A slave is won by force, and he's forced to work, and he has no inheritance nor authority. But a bond slave is one who chooses to be a slave. And That's what that story there was talking about. When you have a slave and they choose, they don't want to leave. They want to stay with their master, take them to the doorpost and ran an awl through their ear. And that's when the Lord said, put that earring back in. It was a symbol just between he and I of the decision that I've made in my life. And so I can wear that proudly. I want to talk too about real quick. There's a pride that is sin, but there's also a good pride. And that's to be proud of your kids or proud of people or being proud of the work or some creation you just did or the music talent. You can be proud in that. Yes, we're proud of Jesus. And so you could be, there's things to be proud, but the pride that's all about self and what I want and how I want it is it's that self-life that always seems to want to rise up. That we have to what? Die daily, the Bible says. So because of my past and the schooling, and I really didn't have much education as far as to learn, you know, a craft or to get into some career field. And I was always very patriotic anyway, loved my country. I decided to join the military because I wanted to serve my country, but I also wanted to learn something. I wanted to go to school and get some education. Boy, did I get an education. And it wasn't until some years later I learned why God's hand was really in that. Because I didn't learn really any kind of craft while I was there. I didn't get to go to the school I went. I took the test, the ASVAB, to join the military. This is why I'm saying that I was smart enough. I got such a high score. They said I could take anything there that's open. Everything in the military is open to you. And I'm glad I did it quick, because if I'd have waited 5 years out of high school, and I did get my GED fairly quickly too, and it wasn't that difficult for me because I wasn't out for some time. So I had some intelligence, some smarts, but I was really stupid on the other hand with some decisions. And I wanted to take a particular thing and I didn't get it. It just didn't happen. But I say all of this to say this: what I learned was so valuable to this day. And it's really what I'm going to talk about. It's honor and it's authority. That's what the Lord taught me, because nobody else really taught me. They tried, but I was so rebellious. The Lord put me in a place where I really couldn't escape. I couldn't get out. And I learned from day one. Those of you who have been in the military, you know this. When you enter the military, and they'll tell you this, you are not your own anymore. You belong to the U.S. government. Now, I was so young in the Lord, I didn't realize how much symbolism, the typology is to the kingdom until years later. Because when you get born again, you are not your own anymore. You do not belong to yourself any longer. Even when you're sleeping, you do not belong to yourself. Nothing. They will tell you when to go to the bathroom. They will tell you when to eat. They will tell you when to sleep, what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. They will tell you how short your hair has to be, how you're to wear your uniform. They will teach you how to make your bunk and how to place your underwear, your socks, your shirt, everything had to be folded a certain way. It had to be in a certain spot in the shelf, and you were inspected on that. You couldn't have lint. That's a funny story too when Renee came, but I'll tell that some other time. You can't have lint on your uniform. It has to be worn a certain way. You have to have your stuff in order. Your shoes had to be polished a certain, everything had to be just so. What it also taught me was a discipline that I did not know that it existed in the kingdom. It was so fascinating. And even when I was there, I wasn't getting it. We probably understand that. Sometimes God has you go through things or take this job or go here or do this or go there. And you're like, why? This has nothing to do with what God is calling me to do. Hey, I don't know what you're doing. What? Did I miss God? But it could be weeks, months, or even years later, you see the wisdom of God, how he's trained you. See, Cherie, the Lord has trained you. And you have shown him honor, and he's going to give you some authority you've never had before. Because promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or from this man or from that man. Promotion only comes from the Lord. So I went to the military, unbeknownst to me, to learn authority, how it worked, how it functioned, to learn honor, and to learn a discipline. And I had no idea until I got out some years later of how it mirrored the kingdom of God. Now, what happens, because it's a worldly system, there is some control and there is manipulation and there is some coercion involved there, which is not in the kingdom. When there's a spirit of control and manipulation, there's a spirit of witchcraft that is happening, and that doesn't come from our dad. I'm going to talk a lot about the principle of honor and the principle of authority. Principles never change. They're like a law. It's like the law of gravity. Principles can be applied in many different areas. And there's principles of the Word of God all through it that if we'll just learn, we'll understand some principles. Principles also, I haven't thought this thing. This just came to me, and I haven't really thought this through. So principles are like the character of God. See, when you, because of our walk with the Lord, and as we're getting to know the Lord and His character, there are there's so many things that we don't need to really even pray about anymore. There are things that when we see them, that we'll have discernment on whether it's God or whether it's not, because we know God. We can see. I heard this statement. This was early on in my walk too. How many of you remember Willie George? Maybe, I think I mentioned this just some time ago. I remember Willie George. I don't even know if he's still around, but what a great ministry, especially for us. I mean, Lee was one of our youth workers, and Matt was there. We watched those Fire by Night videos all the time, didn't we? It was produced by his ministry and Blaine Bartell and those. But I heard him make this statement, and I had already been to the military, and it just stuck with my heart. And he said, if you want to be a man of authority, you first must be a man under authority. And it's always stuck with me because it's a perfect statement. It's not in the Bible said that way, but the principle of that is in the Bible. And that's what I mean by a principle. Principles are rock solid. See, evangelism is a principle of the kingdom, but the method by which you will evangelize may change. Methods change, principles do not. They're the same. Okay. We belong to a kingdom. I think too, this right here, this statement right here sometimes is difficult for a North American, United States individual that's in a democracy to understand. When you become born again, you still live in this land, but you now belong to a kingdom. The word kingdom comes from, it's two words put together. It's the domain of the king. The kingdom is not a democracy. It's not ruled by the vote of the people. It's ruled by a king. And see, many times we'll take our cultural values of democracy and try to apply them in the kingdom. They just don't work. They don't work. Remember when we were talking about ecclesia, and when, especially on the judgment part of it, and it talked about when there's a brother in sin in your congregation, and those three steps, you know, Matthew 18 and how to deal with it. And then if the guy never or doesn't repent, what does it say for the last thing? It says where two or three of the people from the ecclesia, when they get together, Jesus will be there. They're not there to vote on what to do. They're there to hear from Jesus on what to do, because he's the king. And when they hear from what Jesus says, they just implement what Jesus said. See, that's ecclesia at its very fundamental root. Hearing what God says and then implementing it. That's how his will gets done on the earth. Okay? I say this all the time, but I don't think it's a bad thing to continue hearing. We have a kingdom. We're in a kingdom that is run by a king. But his law is so different from the law of this world. Who could tell me what the law of the kingdom is? Absolutely, man. You guys are good. That's an A. Give him a gold star. Love is that law of the kingdom. Without that love connection and love relationship with the Lord, and even the Bible tells us that love is the motivation for all that we are to do. Without that love connection, all you have left is legalism. All you've got is rules, regulations, do this and do that. And when you take a congregation that is not established in the love of God, and you have a somebody that's leading that congregation that is not established in that love of God, then it defaults. It defaults to control, manipulation, and coercion. That's legalism. That's being legalistic. That is how the domain of darkness functions and operates. And because he is the prince of the power of the air and of this world system, that's how this world system operates. It's not how the kingdom operates. There is honor in the kingdom. There is authority in the kingdom. But it's all motivated by love. It's love, love, love. That is the law of the kingdom. Authority, that word, confronts the very pride that is in us. The word, the English word authority, the root word of the English word is author. Who authors authority? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. In Matthew 28, Jesus made this statement himself. He says, all authority has been given to me. He's the author of authority. There's a principle of authority. And that principle of authority works and functions whether the man or the woman that has authority is evil, a Christian, or not. That went over good. English definition of authority is power, control, and liberty. But I like this. It also comes from the word that means, and this is Greek, leave or permission. And I never knew this. I don't know. Rhonda, you were in the Air Force, right? And you were, the Army, and you were Marine. And I'm assuming you guys did this too. I was in the Navy. When an officer, when you, let's just say you're outside and you're at a base and you're walking and an officer is approaching you. When we got up to the officer, we would salute that officer. And he would return the salute, hopefully. But if you're walking along, and you're going in the same direction as an officer, and you're maybe walking a little faster, and you're coming up behind him. Did you guys have to do this? We had to go, by your leave, sir. You were in the military too, right? And I didn't know why we were taught to do that, because that's the meaning of authority. It's permission. I'm asking, can you give me permission to pass you? Authority is the power to rule, to govern. Get this. This is wonderful. It first means you have the ability to rule and govern. Secondly, it means you have the right. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to get into more of this. I'm going to try to go slow because there's a lot of things I feel like we need to do. God sent Jesus to earth to die and be resurrected. Man didn't know that. Man killed him for two main reasons. Can somebody tell me those two main reasons? We've talked about this over and over. They killed Jesus for his identity and his authority. And they're linked. We've talked about that. We have authority as the people of God because of what we are, who we are, as His sons. See, in the kingdom, and this is the same in earthly situations, when there's a king, who becomes the next in charge? Sons. See, in the kingdom of heaven, it's the same. Jesus Christ is the King. God the Father, Jesus Christ is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And when we're birthed into His kingdom, we too are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are ruling and reigning. We're seated with Him in the heavenlies. We are ruling and reigning with Him. We didn't get our authority by theft, coercion, perversion. We inherited it because we're sons. See, that's what the key of David is all about. The key of David is all about David's life, and it was handed down. Jesus was in the lineage of David, and He inherited the kingdom. Praise God. I'd love to continue on that, but. Whew. Honor. What do I want to say about honor? Honor all people. I think I'll just say what the word says. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. That is not a fear to be afraid of Him. That's a reverential awe. Honor Him in respect and righteousness and holiness. Honor the King. One of the things, and I'm not going to do it today, is Peter wrote this. And he specifically said, honor the King. And if you don't know, wait till you find out who the King was in the day that he said to honor the King. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Honor means to value, to respect, to place a high price on. If I'm going to honor Eric, how might I honor him? Woo! Don't burn his biscuits. How would I honor Eric? Let's think about this in practical terms. How do we honor one another? Brian. Yeah. So I'm going to respect him. I'm going to speak to him a certain way. The value, awesome. What else? I would protect him, awesome. Not talk about him. Yeah. Not to talk to him about it in a negative light. Ridicule or make fun of. Good. What else? I would love. I would express love to him. I want to show you something. I know we're already starting to run late, but before you leave, if you just give me a few more minutes, I want to show you something about honor. Just something very simple that is so powerful that if we will understand this, it'll open up a whole new dimension of kingdom blessing in our life. Yes, Lee. Good, very good. We would serve. Awesome. Anything else can kind of come to mind?
Okay, well, I just know that once I was telling Eric away, but I was talking about it, and we're all ready to go. God got all in my face.
That's good. Very good. what you just said, just, I don't know if you all heard what she was saying, but she said that when she was talking to Eric, she got in his face and God got in her face and said, don't talk to him like that. Would you talk to your boss that way? And that just reminded me of something. Because what we do in our society, now Cherie has an awesome boss, but other than that, I don't like the word boss. I'm not a boss. I'm not even bossy. Am I bossy? Okay. yeah, I know. Okay. What we do a lot is, let's just take it like in the workplace. You brought that up. That was really good. Is if you have a boss you don't like, what we'll do is we'll be nice, cordial. Because what we're also going to talk about is submission and obedience and the difference between the two. Because you can be obedient without being submissive. Because submissive deals with heart condition. Obedience just deals with the outward action. And we'll do things. Police officers. Our government officials, those that are in leadership. We will do certain things, but when they're in front of them or when they're around, but when they're not around, somehow we justify our ridicule, our making fun of, our degrading of those in leadership, even if they're evil. Yeah, that's right. I just hope you stay with this, because as we go through the next few weeks, we'll go to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1. I want to get into a few scriptures, and I want to show some things here. Honor and faith go hand in hand. Honor and faith go hand in hand. You know, in the book of John, John writes this, and I love his style, especially in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, because he's just like blunt. He's just right out there. He said, okay, you say you love God, but you hate your brother, you're a liar. I love that. Just tell it to me plain. And we are deceived to think that we're honoring God and dishonoring his kids. Where did I say to go? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. Okay? So what is he saying? You know God. You know at least some percentage, some part. You know God exists and you know some of it. Some of who God is. We all... basically, the same point here. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. I mean, for anybody, really, to look at mountains and waters and streams and stars and planets and the solar, I mean, all of this, the God's great, the animal kingdom and the trees and plants and all of this kind of, to look at that and think that, you know, by some divine explosion, it all happened. That there's not a God is completely and totally deceived. They don't want to. They have to work harder at not seeing the truth. It does. It takes more faith in reverse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him. They did not respect him, value him, or give thanks. Now, what you're going to read from there on is a result of a lack of honor. Because they didn't honor him and didn't give him thanks, they became futile in their speculations. They're just speculating about God or things and creation and life. When we don't accept the Lord and what he says, we default to human reasonings. Which is really the warfare the Bible talks about. The battle that it's that the speculations and the human reasonings and the thoughts when we haven't submitted to the Lord. But notice what the Word of God says here. Because they didn't honor him, this was the result. This is the power of honor. When we don't truly honor God, they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. They were professing to be wise, but became fools. They exchanged the glory of God, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. And you say, well, I don't have any graven images that I worship. Do you worship money? Yourself? An athlete? Cars? Guns? What? Is there anything else that's before the Lord that you honor and value more than what you do him? Status? Title? I mean, this... Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, which is really sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is a consequence of not honoring God. Their bodies were dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Therefore, they worshiped and served created things rather than the one who created all things. That's Joe's paraphrase, by the way. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. All from a lack of honoring God. In the same way, also men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Don't we see this played out in just 3D color in our society now? Even in the body of Christ. For a lack of honoring God. It's powerful. Honor is powerful. Powerful. Let's look at this verse. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus went out from there and he came to his own hometown. You remember this story? And his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands. Isn't he just the carpenter? Isn't he just the son of Mary? Brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. Are not his sisters here with us? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? They took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet. Now, this is not specifically talking about the office of the prophet. The basic definition of a prophet is one who hears from God and then speaks for God. Therefore, you are all prophets in that sense. We're a prophetic people because we're hearing what God is saying and we're saying what he says. A prophet is not without honor. Here's the word honor again. Except in his own hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own household. Verse 5 is extremely powerful, folks. It does not say he didn't want to do any miracles. He said he could not. He could not do a miracle in his own hometown. Why? Because he was not honored. Honor opens the door to kingdom resources. Now notice this, because that verse goes on. He said, but to heal a few sickly people. Why? Those people honored him. I believe there's a few reasons for what I'm about to say, but I believe there's a major reason, and it's this, what we're just talking about. Have you ever noticed how many of you have ever traveled outside of the United States? You've gone to another country to preach, teach, lay hands on people, or whatever. Have you ever noticed here in the United States in a congregational setting? It's not so much here in this particular congregation, but this is a thing that's been happening for some time. You'll see very little, if any, miracles, healings, signs, and wonders taking place. But you bring in a guest speaker that nobody knows, really. I mean, you don't know him. You don't live with him, huh? But you'll honor him. You don't even realize you're doing it. And just because you're honoring him and you have respect and you're cordial and you're the way you're speaking to them and the room, the place that you're giving to that individual, it opens the doorway for he now can function in the gift that God's given him. It's an amazing thing that happens. Now, what the reverse of that is, and like I said, I don't think it happens here so much in this particular congregation, but this is a problem with congregations, that gifted ones, ones that are, and you're all gifted ones. Well, that's just Cherie. We know Cherie. We know her warts. We know her problems. We know her issues. It's just Cherie. And we don't even realize what we're doing. Jesus made this statement. He said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet gets a prophet's reward. Now, what most people interpret that is whatever reward the prophet gets, you get. That's not what he's saying. You receive from that prophet everything that God has got that he's delivering to you through him. That's the reward of that prophet. You receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, and you'll get his reward. You'll get what God wants to give you through him. You don't do it, you just close the door off to it. You ever notice too, and even this has happened here recently, God is moving and bringing healing like with Sharon and Lee and some others, and others are sick in the congregation or have issues and they will not respond. Same power wants to heal everybody. God's not a respecter of people. Honor's a powerful, powerful, powerful. Doesn't say he didn't want to, it says he couldn't. Jesus also said, I'm going to read the first part of the verse, he who receives a prophet. He said first, he who receives you receives me. And if you receive me, you receive the Father. And then he went on to say, he who receives a prophet, the name of a prophet gets a prophet's reward, and the righteous man the righteous. One last scripture. I've got some more. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. This is God speaking through the prophet Malachi. He said, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honor? If I'm a master, where's my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests. Is there any priests in here?
Amen.
We're all priests. O priests, who despise my name. Notice the word chosen there. You're not honoring him, so really what you're doing is despising him. Oh, man. Lord, I pray we hear this today. We get revelation in our heart today. O priests who despise my name. And they're saying, because of this blindness and deception, God's telling them this. And it's like, what are you talking about? How have we despised your name? And he says this, because you're presenting defiled food upon my altar. You say, how have we defiled you? And that you say, the table of the Lord is despised. When you present the blind for sacrifices, is it not evil? When you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there would be one among you who had just closed the church up. Stop your foolishness. Why do you even come to church? Why do you have a service? You're not honored. I'm not bringing this like condemnation on you. I'm just teaching this. Okay? Because it's all worthless. If we're not going to honor God, really, everything else we're doing is worthless. We're wasting our time. We might as well go do something else. That you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. First time we ever see in the Bible where somebody gives an offering to the Lord. And Cain and Abel did it. What did Cain give? Does anybody know? Vegetables. Okay, what does the Bible say Cain gave? Actually gave. What was it? What was the substance of what he gave? Okay. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Beans? He gave beans. It's in there somewhere. It's in the Bible. It's... Let's pick it up in verse 3. It came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Okay? Yeah, it could have been beans. No, that's a good point, right? It could have been beans. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel's offering, for Abel and his offering. Verse 5, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. In other words, God did not accept the offering from Cain. Why? Somebody throw a bean at him. Just being them. This is a really interesting passage to me because there's nothing yet in the first three chapters that even talks about offering. And here they are giving it. We don't have a record that Adam and Eve gave anything like this. We can speculate how they knew to do it, but I choose not to. Because really the main focus here is they both gave fruit from their labor, but God only received one. He only accepted one, and he didn't accept the other. Remember the verse, I went right from the verse of Malachi, where he says, I'm not going to receive your offering. And he told them why.
Did the Lord not say something about as soon as I'm your doorstep?
It's crouching. Yeah. But he says here why. Cain, he did not, let's look at verse 4 again. Abel on his part also brought firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So he didn't accept it. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. That's why he didn't accept it. See, only God really knows what's in our heart. See, we can have so much bitterness and anger, resentment, pride. And when you think about all of those things, it's really pride why we have them. And only God really knows. See, we can go through all of the legalistic religious activities. You can put your 20% in the offering. You can be at church every time the doors are open. You can pray for hours a day. You can fast 4 days a week. You can do all of the religious activities. And still God not receive a bit of it. God is not looking for what we can do or what we can give. He's looking for who we are. He always goes to the heart. Cain had a heart condition that he was unaware of. And soon as God said, I'm not going to accept that, now it was manifest. Now Cain saw it. I pray that we have the eyes to see the things that we've been through in our past. Especially in the area of where it comes to authority figures. Now look, God doesn't call any of us to be a doormat. And we're going to talk about that too. One of the quickest ways that an issue like what Cain had in his heart to be revealed is when something that he did is rejected. This, too, is another reason why I like watching American Idol, X Factor, and the Olympics, or anything like that. And we've seen it just yesterday during the Olympics. When an athlete doesn't get the scores that they think they deserve, how do they react? Exactly. If they're prideful and arrogant, they'll respond a certain way. There was an American Olympian that cussed on TV last night. You just saw the words because she didn't think she deserved those scores. All that was pride and arrogance. And when she didn't get what she thought, and when you don't get, when I don't get, how we respond will reveal what's in our hearts. That is what God wants to show us. Why? Not to make fun of us, not to condemn us. Paul talks about this. There's a sorrow of the world and there's a sorrow of God. There's a godly sorrow, and the godly sorrow what leads us to repentance. It's how we respond to those things. I'm going to talk about this. When I was a youth pastor at another church locally here, and this happens in churches all over, all of the time, and it brings big, big confusions. God spoke to me something to do within my particular ministry, which I had authority over. And when I presented that to the pastor, the senior pastor that is responsible for the whole congregation, and he disagreed what I believe God was showing me and said, no, I don't want you to do what you think God's showing you. I want you to do something else. I had a decision to make. And what I'm going to say, what a lot of people, and I've seen it over and over, is people say, well, God told me, I don't have to submit to no man. God told me I'm going to bless you, man. See you later. So you can't move an army with rebellious people. You just can't. You can't conquer lands. God doesn't want us just to conquer lands. You know what he wants to do? He wants us to possess them. And you can't do it with a bunch of rebels. Now, there's a good part of a rebel, too. We need to be rebels against the world and against the kingdom. But I'm talking about rebellious. A lack of honor and a lack of respect for authority will hinder your growth, my growth. And sometimes there are life-defining moments we will all face. And we will be confronted with issues. I am going to get into this a little bit more deeper. I don't want to go too much more today. We've kind of run a little bit over. But God already knew what was in Cain's heart. All he did was reveal it. See, we don't change. This is just a principle. It's just the nature. We don't change what we don't think needs changing. Do we? We don't change. See, if I have some bad eating habits, which I really do.
No way.
I do. And if it wasn't for my wife, dear Lord, I don't know what I'd look like if I would still be alive just because of my eating habits. But if I have bad, I've mentioned the kidney stones when I had those and I had 5 in a row. And the Lord said, look, you need to start taking some, you're going to need some magnesium in your diet, some B6, and you need to quit eating. I'm a saltaholic, man. I wish there was like some counseling for that. I just a saltaholic. My name's Joe, and I'm a saltaholic. I need deliverance. Brenda, maybe I need to talk with you and deliver me from that salt demon. But, you know, and I always use this too. Well, God calls us the salt of the earth. I mean, come on. Can't be all bad. But anyway, if I have some of these I had a magnesium vitamin B6 deficiency, and I went through this painful period in my life where I was producing these babies called kidney stones, and it's like, Lord, what's going on? You need this. I didn't know I needed that. And that brought awareness to a little bit of my diet there. Not saying that God caused those things to happen, but God will turn everything for good. So people in the world, they don't receive Christ if they don't think they need him. You ever talk to somebody that their marriage is awesome? Their kids are doing great. They make lots of money. They have a retirement thing. They've got 14 cars and 3 houses. All this. They've got all the stuff. They're doing fine. They're successful. They're nice. They're kind. They have good. I had an employee that worked for me one time. This guy was so incredibly honest. I mean, he was more honest than I wanted him to be sometimes. And I told him before. I'd like to see him again, by the way. I told him before, I said, his name's Gary. I said, you know what, Gary, why don't you just become, you live like a Christian. Why don't you just become one? I mean, you just never would, you know what I mean? Have you ever met somebody like that? It's like, are you really? Just say it. Just tell me you're a Christian because you live that way or you act that way. I mean, he's always on time for work. He works hard. He'll work. He has the disciplines of a godly person. It's just amazing. But sometimes people have these kinds of things and they don't know what their need is. Most people have to go through something. They have to get, like myself, lower than the curb before it's like, okay, well, I've tried everything else. I might as well. God, if you're real. And that's what I did. I mean, if you're real, God, I want it. I'm done. I'm tired.